This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the Triple Threat with Sean Pendergast, Rich Lord, and three-time Super Bowl champ Ted Johnson. Woo! Join the show now. Call or text in at 713-572-4610. This is Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
He did not approach Verlander. He's very intense. He's very serious. He likes to kind of be in the zone early. I mean, right when he gets to the field. I don't know how early he gets to the zone, like whether it's like a roll out of bed and he's ready to roll, or whether it's a progression throughout the day. But maybe like a fist bump if you like have to run into him, but you try to kind of stay clear.
That was Lance McCullers on Mad Radio when asked what Justin Verlander is like on game day. So if we take that
right
answer,
now.
If we take that answer to mean that there's a progression, that Justin Verlander is in the midst of a haze in which you don't want to walk up to him in the clubhouse as he gets ready to take the mound a little later on this hour in the season opener for the Astros and the Rangers. Pretty cool MLB baseball going on all over the country today. In opening day. An opening day on March 29th. They added more off days to the schedule, so the season's starting a little bit earlier. But it's cool. And the weather's great up here in Arlington. That's where we are. We're live at the Devil's River Whiskey Broadcast Desk. We thank Bayway Chevrolet for backing all of us on all of our shows that we're at today at the Houston Open this morning for Mad Radio, In the Loop in San Antonio, and the three of us, the Triple Threat, live in Arlington at Humperdinck's. It's good to be with all of you. We'll be with you till 6 o'clock tonight. Here on Sports Radio 610, my name is Sean Pendergast. To my right is Rich Lord.
Deep behind enemy lines, but happy to be here.
Hospitable enemy lines, as indeed. The general manager of Humperdinck's, Carmen, just came up to us and gave us a big welcome here. To my left is three-time Super Bowl champ Ted Johnson and the former camp counselor of Dan Soder of Billions.
That's right. When I got in here today, though, there was a lot of Astros fans, and there was a lot of Triple Threat fans. People drove up here or even flew in today for the game. So I feel if anything goes down, it will be okay.
Nice.
We have reinforcements here today at Humperdinck's, man. It's a great vibe here, man. It's close to the stadium where we're at. There's just tons of Ranger fans out, Astro fans out. It's a good day, man.
And this is the first chance you get as an Astros fan to really go out and strut your stuff as a defending world champion, right? Like, this is like, Ted, if I can speak your language, this is like, you know, if you got a boob job, you know, it's like you've been shut in for the last 3 months and nobody can look at the new hardware that you have. And now, finally, you get a chance to go out on the town and get to show those babies off.
It's a great, great feeling, man, because this team, this team's proud of its boob job, really proud of it.
As it should be.
And they're very, they're really excited about it because that's, this team has been very confident. After winning, obviously that would be the case. They seem to be handling, because you always wonder, what's going to be the message that they're sending out after winning a World Series? Is it, hey, that was last year? Or, hey, yeah, that was fun. We just want to keep this thing going. There's different kind of ways you can shape their narrative if within the organization. It seems like it's something that they all talked about, or just I feel organically what you hear time and time again from Astros players is, yeah, we're the team to beat. Yeah. It's going to go through us. Yeah, we think we have the best bullpen or the best pitching staff. We have the best lineup in the Major League Baseball. I kind of like that everybody has this confidence about them.
And there's no doubt that Verlander is one of the tone setters when it comes to that tone you're talking about. And I'm going to be really interested to see what he's got today and how well he pitches today. Looking at some of the numbers, he's actually struggled his last four starts in this ballpark with an ERA of almost 7. Mm. And he didn't have a great first half last year before the Astros traded for him. So he's looking to come out of the gate and pitch better in this ballpark than recent history would suggest. And as if we needed a number to tell us how credentialed Justin Verlander is, obviously we don't. This is his 10th opening day start in the last 11 years.
Yeah, he did have a start for the Astros in this ballpark down the stretch last year and pitched well. They won, you know, like 11-2 or something like that. He was great for the Astros. I mean, pretty much other than other than just the World Series where he and Keuchel, you know, kind of struggled a little bit, Justin Verlander has not he hasn't put up really any stinkers as a Houston Astro yet.
Oh, my gosh.
He got here in September, quite the opposite. And that carried into spring training this year. And, Ted, I think to go back to what you're talking about, like the theme for this team or what the vibe of this team, I think it was said in January, to be honest with you, when we got stories of – I forget who it was we were talking to. It might have been Keuchel who we were talking to in advance of the TriStar show. And he was in West Palm Beach at the time, and he wasn't alone. Justin Verlander was there. Jose Altuve was there. The core nucleus stars of this team, for the most part, have been getting after it at the Astros
you're
complex
right.
in West Palm Beach long before spring training started. So if you're going to – if your barometer for your team, if the baseline for your team – is are they doing everything that they possibly can to defend their title? This team is doing that and then some to make sure that they're ready for what is going to be, I think, a great season. And I think also the fact that the Yankees went out and got Giancarlo Stanton in some ways I think was a good thing for the Astros.
Yeah, it fires them up because more people are talking about, I think, the Yankees than they are the Astros.
Yeah. Yep.
And so there you are. You kind of – look, nobody's really paying – I mean, everybody knows how loaded this team is, but – everybody's talking about the Yankees. Yeah. So the pressure feels like it's more on them, than anything. Just so people know, you're right. When Verlander was signed here last August, he won all five of his starts in September. He had a 4-1 record with a 2.21 ERA in the six postseason outings to get the World Series. I mean, the guy was lights out ever since he got here.
Better and better.
He has said that he is very excited
about
starting – from day one with this team.
Yeah.
I just feel like Verlander and the names you mentioned that were here early, those were the stars that were already here in January. Starting their prep for this season already in January. When the stars are doing that, everyone else follows, man.
Yeah. Yep.
A great sense of anticipation. I mean, we're literally now down to minutes away from the start of this season, just down the road from where we're broadcasting. A couple of other games already in progress around baseball.
Yeah.
Everybody opens today, well, except the Reds, who got rained out.
The Reds and the Nationals,
in Cincinnati today. The Astros getting, I would say, as an organization, guys, some good news and some bad news in advance of this ball game today. The good news is Yuli Gurriel, who could have started the season on the disabled list and then served his five-game suspension. But because his recovery from that left-hand surgery is going so well, he's just going to begin serving the suspension on the restricted list for the first five games of the season, which means he'll be eligible to play on Tuesday against the Orioles at Minute Maid Park. The bad news, of course, I think most Astros fans have heard by now, about the passing of 73-year-old Rusty Staub, who was one of the first franchise icons for this franchise. Back to when they were the Colt 45s, early 60s into the late 60s, Rusty Staub was one of the most popular Astros in the city of Houston.
Yeah, and just a super solid Major League Baseball player for his whole career.
There's a Hall of Fame case to be made for Rusty Staub. He is just shy of the traditional numbers you would say is a ticket puncher for the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
But he was a great, great hitter, one of the great hitters of his generation.
Just a pure hitter, just a real pure hitter. And six-time All-Star. And by all accounts, a real good guy. I watched Keith Hernandez today. Keith Hernandez does color for the New York Mets, and he did a pregame media session in which he was asked about Rusty Staub. Was incredibly emotional because I guess Rusty kind of took him under his wing when he got traded to the Mets in 1984. He said, Rusty showed me New York. Mm. Like, he's the one who took, you know, Keith Hernandez became a big deal in New York. He was, hey,
right.
I'm Keith Hernandez.
Right.
You know, like,
yes, of course, always.
So that he was very emotional and by all accounts, just a really, really good guy.
Well, and the other side to Rusty Staub that a lot of people know about as well is the fact that he was, gained the moniker in Montreal, the Grand Orange.
The Grand Orange.
Thank you. Yeah. You're much better at those French pronunciations
the Grand Orange.
Than I am. But part of that was because he was a chef.
Was he really?
And Rusty Staub owned restaurants.
I didn't know that. I knew he owned restaurants.
He was an accomplished gourmet chef.
Wow.
His passion was food, and he owned a number of restaurants throughout his life. And what people should know also is that he and his charitable foundation are responsible for feeding literally millions of people for free that were I believe family members of NYPD and Fire Department of New York. In times of need, his foundation came through big time for a lot of people in need. So there was a very big charitable side to Rusty Staub as well that should be mentioned in any sort of homage to him today.
Absolutely. So we have that. As Rich mentioned, the Astros are going to be starting up pretty soon. If I'm a little bit tired today, if I'm a little bit groggy, it's because along with, I think what the ratings said, were several thousand other Astro fans, and it felt like all of them were on Twitter last night doing this, rewatching Game 5 of the World Series last year. AT&T Southwest showed the entire game, not with innings cut out or outs cut out or chopping out trips to the mound and stuff, literally the five-hour rebroadcast of the game in its pristine state off of the Fox feed, and it was so much fun. That was the 13-12 game, for those who don't know.
Yeah.
And that not only was it fun reliving that game.
Most home runs ever hit in extra innings in World Series history, I believe.
In an extra inning game, maybe?
In an extra inning game,
yeah. I mean, there were a ton of them. It was like batting practice.
It goes from 4-0 to 12-12.
It was yeah. Crazy. Well, and here's the thing. I turned it on.
So many dramatic points in that game.
I turned it on in the fifth inning. That's when I go back and rewatch this, to rewatch it a few months later, and not just that game, but game two, which was a miniature version of Game 5, where all those fireworks and extra innings. I think a couple of one, I think if Marwin Gonzalez doesn't hit that home run against Kenley Jansen to tie that game up, the world
biggest at bat of the World Series.
They may lose the World Series in five games.
Biggest AB in the series, I believe.
Yeah, I agree with you, Rich. That was the biggest hit in the series, was Marwin Gonzalez. And it's just weird to go back and rewatch a few months later, because in the moment, I never felt – I mean, it was nerve-wracking watching those games – but with that team, with this team, you always feel like there's a chance. And when you watch it 3 months later, you go, I can't believe I was that calm during these games. Yeah. I can't believe, like, Jose Altuve hits a three-run home run, and you almost expect it from him. And that's when I turned it on, was in that. And you forget the situations that they were doing this stuff in.
Two
it was
outs.
7-4 with Clayton Kershaw on the mound. So you figure if Kershaw just straightens things out, the Dodgers should win that game. A three-run lead in the fifth inning with two outs for Clayton Kershaw. Yeah. I don't know what their win probability was at the time, but it had to be in the 80 to 90% range for the Dodgers. And the Astros put that rally together that led to the Altuve home run out of nothing. Springer had a 10-pitch walk. Bregman had an 8-pitch single. And then Altuve has a 7-pitch home run. You know, these guys are just
they're the most
clutch team I've rooted for in my lifetime. They're so much fun.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun. You're right. And if they get up, you know, behind early in the game, are you ever worried about it? No, because this team almost sometimes it gets hotter as the game goes on. I mean, you see their offensive output late innings in games, and they're tremendous. And a lot of times they're one of the best teams as far as scoring runs with two outs.
Yeah,
they just grind it out, man.
I can't imagine what it's like to root against this team, to be on the other side of a lineup that's absolutely relentless.
Like frustrating.
Right, Brian McCann was a huge player in that 13-12 game. Right, I mean, had a home run to make it 12-9. That guy had the hit by pitch.
Yeah,
it was Derek Fisher was pinch running for Brian McCann when he scored the winning run.
I had to get up early and get in my car, Sean. How did you watch that whole thing? I kept going back and forth, and finally I was like, I can't do this. I have to get some sleep.
Yeah. I rewatched it like it was live again. And it was so much fun. I knew I was going to pay for it today, though.
You know what's fun about that team, and maybe that in that game specifically, or just the entire postseason is. I mean, everybody chipped in.
Yeah.
Like, everybody somewhere along the line.
Yes.
The one guy who didn't really contribute and really, at least during the World Series series, was Josh Reddick. I mean, he just
– that was a bad series.
But everybody else had an effect in those games.
Even little moments, like early in that game. You remember early in that game, like Keuchel pitched that game. Keuchel didn't pitch well.
No.
Luke Gregerson had to get them out of a jam early in that game. Luke Gregerson, who was persona non grata for the last 2 months of the season. He was an afterthought in the bullpen. He came in and got a gigantic out. Otherwise, that game gets blown wide open, and the Astros might lose that game.
When I noticed it was on, it was in the fifth inning, and it was 4-4. And McHugh was on the mound, speaking of someone who was kind of marginalized last season for a number of reasons, but hadn't pitched in a long time, and he's out there on the mound in the fifth inning, walks two guys, and then gives up the dinger. And who was it again?
Cody Bellinger.
Cody Bellinger putting his finger up to his mouth to quiet down the crowd. I was like, you wait.
Rich, that was my first tweet last night watching the game. I said, the best part about rewatching this are watching how ridiculous the Dodgers are in their home run celebrations in this thing.
It just added to the drama.
Yeah.
This is kind of surprising. Hamels and Verlander, they've combined for 747 starts in the big leagues, but they've never faced each other. This is the first time.
Well, Hamels spent a big chunk of his career in the National League. That's probably why.
But he's been
a Ranger since 2015.
Right, that's amazing.
When he rejected his proposed trade to the Houston Astros, which Lance McCullers talked about, by the way, on Mad Radio. We'll have to get to that later.
Right up there with the Rockets not getting Carmelo Anthony and who's the one we were talking about yesterday?
Carmelo Anthony.
Wasn't there somebody else?
Yes, there was, and I can't remember who it was off
the top of my head.
Yeah,
my bad. I shouldn't have brought it up without knowing it.
Yep, brain fart. But, yeah, sometimes the trades you make, the best trades. Oh, Andre Iguodala.
Iguodala.
Yeah.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.